all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. It has been a good day for me. I have, this morning, was, as the kids would say, off the chain. That means, to us, that means, like, really good. I felt like, of course, you know, when I entered this morning's sermon time, I was anxious, maybe, unsure how it would be received, but I think that the Lord answered my prayer and that it would be received in the spirit it was meant, and I'm hoping that I offended no one. I'm not going to apologize if the Word of God offended someone. But tonight, I want to start us off on a... I don't know if it's going to be a series or not, but I just want to start us off looking at a very familiar or very famous passage called the Beatitudes. And it's found in Mark chapter 5. There are several things here. Where Jesus, this is really his kind of his first big sermon that he preached there on the mountain, and I want to take just the first verse of this section. It's chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 3. And it simply says this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean? What is poor in spirit? Does anybody have any idea? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Humble in your spirit. Very, very good. What else? Sincere. Yeah, there must be a sincerity, absolutely. Isn't it good to have my dad here tonight? Yeah. The word poor, as mentioned here, the word we translate, let me say this right, there are several words that are used and translated as poor, okay? The poor woman who gave the two widows mites, remember her? Translated, she was poor. But this is a different word that's used for that word that we translate poor. It's poorer than poor, okay? This word poor literally means to shrink or cower or cringe down as a beggar would do back in that day. Now they just stand proudly with a bucket. But it was used to describe a person who was reduced to total destruction. Total bankruptcy. Just one who crouched down in a corner begging. And as he held out his hand for people to drop coin in his hand with his other one, he would cover his face because he was so ashamed. He would cower back and cringe in the corner. That is the word that's used here. That kind of poor in spirit. It didn't simply mean poor, but begging poor. Somebody who was completely dependent on others for subsistence. It means somebody who had absolutely no means of support, could not do anything for themselves. All they could do was simply beg, and they were even ashamed of that. They would sit back. That's what this word means. Blessed are those whose spirit is like that, whose spirit is totally bankrupt, whose spirit is totally incapable of doing anything for themselves on their own spiritually. Isn't that the truth of where we are? But isn't it also true that not everyone recognizes that? And that's why Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit is to recognize our spiritual poverty apart from God, our spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. It's to see ourselves as we really are. See ourselves as we really are. We're lost without Jesus. We are lost, we are hopeless, and we're helpless. Would you agree with that? Without Jesus Christ, we have absolutely nothing. Apart from Christ, every person is spiritually destitute. And it doesn't matter what your education might be, doesn't matter what your social status might be, or your wealth, doesn't matter. We all stand empty-handed before God because you can't bring your wealth to God. You can't bring your social status. Well, Lord, I was the president of the ABC Country Club. Is that going to matter? Is that going to make a hill of beans to God? No. Your status, your wealth, your... Well, Lord, I have a college degree. Doesn't that count for something? He said, well, it did down there, but not up here. The Pharisees did not practice poor in spirit. They were proud in spirit. Okay? The Pharisees were ones who knew the law. They studied the law. They recited the law. And if you didn't, they came down on you. And they wanted to make sure everything was just, all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. And they were very proud of that fact, that they knew all the law and that they were keeping the law according to their understanding of the law. Okay? They were zealous. They were zealous. They had a lot of zeal. They were ambitious about that. And they wanted everybody to know it. This is the same kind of Pharisee that Jesus describes about the guy praying on the corner. He's praying out real loud with elegant words and eloquent speech to make sure everyone knew and understood. What that guy didn't realize is his prayer was just bouncing off the top of his forehead. It was about as high as it went. It was not sincere. It was for show. And sometimes people get mixed up and wrapped up in a spiritual show. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. The poor in spirit also describes the sense that and the recognition of our poverty of spirit is genuine, sincere, like my dad said. It's not an act. It does not refer to outwardly acting like a spiritual beggar, but recognizing what one really is, and that is true humility. Sincerity, humility, those two words were offered when I asked what it means to be poor in spirit. And there it is, exactly. Exactly. And Jesus, he starts, that we're going to, I believe, right now, we're going to work through this section over the next several weeks. But I find it interesting that Jesus starts this whole section on the Beatitudes. You know what Beatitudes means? It's actually a Latin term, if I can remember all this right. It's actually from a Latin term, beatitudinous or something like that. And it means happiness. To be blessed and to be happy. That's what it means. And so we call it the Beatitudes. It's not like you have the A attitudes and then you have the B attitudes. They're a little bit lower, right? And some of us have a C attitude, you know. But no, this is called, this is the path, the recipe for happy life. Okay? That's really what this means. And he puts this first. You want to be happy? Be poor in spirit. What kind of sense does that make? The truth is, because what Jesus is saying, you're going to find your true happiness not in the things of this world. Not in that wealth, not in that education, not in your social standing. You're going to find your true happiness when you understand who you are and who God is and what He's doing for you. To recognize who God is almost impossible until we realize who we truly are. And what we truly are. And the recognition of that leads to poor in spirit. Okay? He puts this thing first because humility is the foundation of everything else in the Christian life. It's the foundation. It's what everything else is built upon. Okay? You can't be a just proud Christian and expect God to use you and to bless you the way that He would had you not recognized your true standing. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, because the truth is we are low, low, low because we have sinned. And that puts us so low. Destitute. We could do nothing. We were bound for damnation and bound for hell. And Jesus reached down. He came down, sacrificed Himself for us because we could not do it on our own. We were that poor. We were begging poor in the corner. I'm ashamed of who I am. I'm ashamed of what I've done, and I can't get anywhere unless somebody helps me. If you've ever come to Christ, truly come to Christ, that's where you were. That's poor in spirit. That's poor in spirit. He puts this first because it's foundational to everything else we do as a Christian. We cannot be filled until you're empty. We cannot be filled until we're empty. You take a glass of water, a full glass of water. Can you put more water in it? No. Take a glass of what's something that's really nasty? Sunny Delight. Take a glass of Sunny Delight and start pouring something different into it that you want. Is it ever going to be what you want it to be? No. There's always going to be, I mean, if you pour it and pour it and pour it, and it just overflows and overflows, there's still going to be a taint of something in there that you don't want. The only way to get the pure product, if I want milk and I've got a glass of Sunny Delight, the only way to do it is to empty the Sunny Delight, okay? And I'm going to take it to the sink and rinse it out to get rid of every last drop of Sunny Delight. And then I'm going to pour my vitamin D whole milk in there, right, so I can dip my Oreo cookies in it. But I can't get that pure product, that what I want, until I have emptied the glass of the other stuff. You cannot, and you will not, and you never will experience the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit until you have emptied yourself of everything else and allow God to fill you. If you empty half, you're not going to experience God's fullness for you. We cannot be made worthy until we recognize our unworthiness. See, here's the magic of it. Here's the magic. We recognize that we are this person, destitute, bankrupt, lost, cannot do anything for ourselves, and we reach up our hand for Jesus Christ. How many of you know that Jesus gives good stuff? He's the one that takes our unworthiness and makes us worthy. He's the one who takes our emptiness and fills us up. He's the one who fills us with life when we recognize that we are really dead. And it's that big of a difference. The night of the living dead. We're dead to ourselves and we're made alive in Christ. You see, it's more than a conscious decision. It's more than a the words aren't coming to me. It's more than just a something that's in our mindset, and we say, oh, that's logical. That's what I need to do. I need to follow Christ. You see, it's something more than that. It's something where we say, oh, I have no other choice. I have no other choice. I can't do anything else but follow Christ. I'm lost. I'm headed for destruction. There's only one way to get out of that path. And I recognize that. You see, that's when we have crucified ourselves and been made alive in Christ. So how do we do it? How do we get there? Well, it can't start with anything we can do or accomplish on our own power. That's first and foremost. Nor does it involve putting ourselves down. You know, it's not enough to just walk around and say, "Oh, I'm so terrible. I'm so bad." I said, "I'm so terrible. I'm so bad." Everybody hear me? You know, it's more than an act and more than public showing that we are. You know, that's no different than that Pharisee. It's more than that. The truth is, I mean, that's the truth. We are already down. We're already down. Humility simply recognizes the truth. Like the what? The publican. That's right. Humility is just recognizing the truth. Yes, without Christ, we're sunk. We're doomed. We're dead. We're worthless. We're unworthy without Christ. But with Christ, filling us because we've emptied ourselves, ours is the kingdom of heaven. His will is to get us out of that. When we recognize our hopeless and our helpless state, His goal is to get us out of that state and into a state of blessing. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. He wants to get us to the happiness from the lowliness that we are. And folks, we can't do that on our own. It's only Jesus that can do that. The fulfillment of that goal depends on His work of humbling us. Okay? So three things I've identified of how we get to be poor in spirit. The first step in experiencing humility is to turn our eyes off of ourselves and look to God. Turn our eyes off. We already know what we are. Sometimes we just aren't willing to admit it. But we already know what we are. But we really need to understand who God is. And what God is, and what He has to offer. We really need to understand. See, we can't do that looking at ourselves. We need to get our eyes off ourselves and look towards God. The second thing is that we need to get rid of those things that are hindering that from happening. Whatever it is that's hindering that from happening, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's consumed by work. Maybe it's jelly-filled donuts. I don't know. Maybe it's whatever. But whatever that is, it's hindering me from recognizing my lowly state without Christ and who Christ has now made me become and looking towards God, we need to remove. We need to remove. And I can't tell you what that is for you. The third thing is just ask God, Lord, give me humility. Now, how many of you are just itching and rip-roaring ready to pray that prayer? Because you know what it means. It's kind of like praying for patience. Does God give you patience, or does He give you opportunities to learn patience? Yeah. And it's not much different with humility. Lord, make me humble. And I promise, Lord, the first humble award I get, I'm going to put that on my mantle so everybody can see it. Display my humility award. That's not true humility. That's not true humility. Ask God for humility. I want to look just real quick at a passage that David wrote in Psalms 51. And it's verse 10. And here he simply says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That is a prayer asking for humility. Create in me a clean heart, not one that's tainted, not one that has Sunny D residue in it. created me a clean heart, one that is filled with you, not myself. That's humility. You can ask the Lord for that. This is one of my favorite psalms. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That is humility from the king of the Israelites. A man who didn't need to be humble. He had status. He had everything. Whatever he wanted, he had it. Except this. And he knew that he couldn't get this without God. He said, look, God, please do this within my heart. And the third step is for us is to ask God, Lord, do something within my heart. Help me get to that point of humility where I recognize how destitute I am without you and how grateful I am that I have you and what you have now made me. And what you've made me is completely different than what I was. Humility, like every good gift, comes only from God. And also, with every like with every other good gift, he is more willing to give it than we are to ask for it. And he stands ready to give it long before we ever ask for it. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Those who get to that point of humility. Those who get to that point where they recognize their lowliness without Jesus. Blessed are those. Happy are those. And then, it's those people. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A haughty Christian, I don't even know that those, what's the word they use for that? Oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. It means two completely opposite things that are put together that don't, you know, like jumbo shrimp, that kind of thing. That's an oxymoron. Some people say military intelligence and whatever. But a haughty Christian, a proud Christian, it just doesn't go together. Doesn't fit. A humble Christian, one who is poor in spirit. And here's the deal: when we make ourselves poor, then God makes us rich. When we recognize our spiritual lowliness and then what the spiritual highness that we get through the Holy Spirit, because remember, what comes to reside within us? It's the Holy Spirit. Is there one better? No, it's the very best. It's the very best. When we recognize our spiritual lowliness and recognize the spiritual greatness that God has thrust into us now. Remember, we've emptied out and received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we are rich. We are rich. Not something to be proud about. Something to be totally grateful for, because you did nothing to get it. You did nothing to earn it. You didn't buy it. You couldn't buy it if you had all the money in the world. You couldn't earn it. You only got it because you recognized you couldn't do anything without it. That is poor in spirit. Happy are those who are poor in spirit, those who are humble in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Basically, it's this in a nutshell. Happy will be those who are most sincere in recognizing who they were before Christ and now who they are after Christ. Those are the people that are sincere about that will receive the kingdom of heaven. Oh, my prayer, my friends, is that that is true for each and every one of you. That we recognize our humility. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.